Today's Shi'ez Masechta Kedushin Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Dalad Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan says the Gemara, Ben Teish Shanim V'yem Echad, when you have a boy who's 9 years old, Ger Amoni Yomayavi Mitzri V'adot Ikuti Nosan Cholol Umamzer, all of these individuals that were just mentioned in the Braisa, each come with their own specific issue. Shabal Kahanis, that have relations with a Bas Koyin, or Lelvia Bas Yisrael, Paslua, they disqualify this woman from being able to marry a Koyin. And Rashi explains that our Gemara is teaching us that somebody who has relations with somebody who has a disqualification, cats the category of a zayna, and the halach is that a kohen may not marry a zayna. It says, so Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that a woman who has relations with somebody who the issur for her to marry him is a chiyuv lav, and as we know, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and we paskin that kedushin is Tosfos, then such a woman does not become a zayna, because a zayna, according to Tosfos, does not become, is only from a chayvei krisus. But no matter what we learn, the point of the Gemara is that these women, by having these relations, become disqualified for marrying a kohen. Rav Yosheimer, kol shezara posel, anyone whose child born from this union will have disqualified children, Paisel, who will have children from this union that may not marry Koyin, Paisel, such a relation will disqualify the wife from ever being able to marry a Koyin, or from ever being able to eat Truma. That means if she's not married at this time, so and she's a Bas Koyin, she may eat Truma. This woman would not be able to eat Truma. Call Shain Zar Apostle, and wherever the union does not produce a child that's Apostle Kuna and Apostle, the wife doesn't become disqualified. And Rav Shimon Gamliel has a third opinion. He says, Kol Shatanai Sabitai, wherever a Kohen is allowed to marry the daughter of this union, Naisa Almanasai, that's when a Kohen can marry the Almana. Kol Shiatanai Sabitai, whenever there's a situation that you can't marry the daughter, then the halacha will be Yatanais Almanasa, you can't marry Almana. So what has been said in our Shia so far are very conceptual, ambiguous statements. But the Gemara now will try to find what do they mean and what are the nafgaminas in a practical sense. So ask the Gemara, my ikka bein Tanakam bein Rabbi Yossi, in what regarding which individual are they arguing? Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Yochanan Mitzri Sheni Ikka B'nayu. The nafkamina will be if somebody had relations with a Mitzri Sheni. We know, we've discussed many times in our Shiurim, that a Ger Mitzri, whether male or female, only becomes mutter for any Jew to marry them when it's the third generation of the Geiris. And here, somebody had relations with a Mitzri Sheni. According to the Tanakhama, since you weren't supposed to marry her, so then the woman becomes disqualified. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, the way we make the determination is looking at the status of the child of this union. The child of a marriage with a Mitzri Sheni will be a Mitzri Shlishi. And as we just said, a Mitzri Shlishi is allowed to get married into Klal Yisrael, and therefore somebody has relations with a Mitzri Sheni, that woman will not become disqualified. V'shneyu, and says the Gemara, both the Tanakhama and Reb Yossi based their opinions, Loi Lamdua, they learn it from the Aloch of a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana. You know that a Kohen Gadol may not marry an Almana. Not only may a Kohen Gadol not marry an Almana, but when a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, she becomes a chalola that may never marry a kohen. The Tanakhama Sava Ki Kohen Gadol Ba'almana. The Tanakhama uses the Kohen Gadol Almana as the mar. Ma Kohen Gadol Ba'almana. When we speak about a Kohen Gadol Almana, should be also by Aveira, that of course there's an Aveira involved in that marriage. A Kohen Gadol is not supposed to marry an Almana. The Halacha is Paislaba, and she becomes at that point disqualified from ever marrying a kohen. She becomes a chalola, and as the basis for the slimud is because the pasuk says that when loyichalol zaroi ba'amav, and Rashi says that from here we learn shtei chalulim, that both the wife, the woman, becomes a chalola, and the children are chalolim. Ma'av kosh b'yosu ba'avera, whenever there's an avera involved in having this relation, Paisel, the woman becomes disqualified from ever being able to marry a kohen. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, we use the kohen gadol ba'almana model. Ma kohen gadol ba'almana shezar apostle, as we just said, the child becomes disqualified. The child is a cholol, because as we said, the Torah says, le'choloi, le'chal zar ba'amav. Yechal means both the mother and the child. Af kosh shezar apostle. Only if the child becomes disqualified will the mother become disqualified. That's when the mother cannot marry a kohen. Lafuki mitzri sheni, as we just explained, she'ein zara paisel, that the halacha is that the child will be a mitzri shlishi, and the mitzri shlishi is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. The amakra bonim ashivodulhem, as the pasuk explicitly says, dor shlishi yovelhem b'kal Hashem. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos, Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, actually brings a machlokes if the daughter of a mitzri sheni can marry anybody from Jew or can marry kohen as well. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that the mitzri shlishi could even marry a kohen. Rish Lakish's opinion is that she can't marry a kohen. So the Ravid and the Ritva both explain that our Gemara here is following the opinion of Rav Shlokish, and when it says, when ain't Zara Apostle, it doesn't mean, ain't Zara Apostle doesn't mean that the child is completely perfect, because according to Rav Shlokish, the child is not perfect. That child can't marry a kohen. But it's what the Gemara means to say here is, it's not as imperfect as the mother who's a mitzri sheni, because a mitzri sheni can't marry any Jew. They can marry any Jew besides a kohen. The Ramban and the Ramban has a different approach. It's a simpler way of approaching the Gemara. He says that our Gemara here is following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that a mitzri shlishi can marry any Jew, even a kohen. And now we can very well understand, if that's the case, we could understand the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Since the child that will be born to this mother will not be disqualified in any way, the mitzri shlishi can marry a Jew, any Jew, even a kohen. That's why he says the mother doesn't become disqualified to marry a kohen. The Braisa continued telling us, Shimon Gamliel Omer, kosh yata noisa bitoi yata noisa almanosai, the kosh yata noisa bitoi yata noisa almanosai. He connects it to the daughter. Ask the Gemara. So Rabbi Yossi spoke about children in a general sense, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel speaks about the daughter. So ask the Gemara, but my ikaber Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what is the practical nafkamina between these two opinions? Answers the Gemara, Amar Ula, ger amoini ume'avi ikabaneu, that we know that when we speak about the amoini, the halacha is that amoini v'loy amoinis, that only an amoini cannot enter Klal Yisrael, and Amoinis can enter Klal Yisrael. And this is a Gemara in Masechta Yevamos Daf Ayin Zayin, that this halacha was said by Amsha when they wanted to disqualify David HaMelech from entering Klal Yisrael because he was a descendant of Rus HaMe'aviyah. And they learned Me'aman V'lo Amoini, Me'avi V'lo Me'avis. And the reason is, because why does the Torah say that they may not enter Klal Yisrael? Ashloi kidnu eschem b'lechem b'mayim. they refused to join, they did not offer Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael was traveling through the lands, they did not offer them Lechem Mayim, they did not greet them. Mi Darkoi, who's the one that goes out to greet? The one that goes out to greet are men, not women. So that's why men, that's why the men of Ammon and Moav are excluded, not the women. And I saw that the Imri Emes explains that the Pasuk says when Lot, which we know Ammon and Moav are the descendants of Lot, when the Malachim came to make Lot leave Sodom, the Pasuk says the Yitzra Malachim beLot Lema Kum Kachas Ishtecha Veshteben Esecha Hanim Tzoyes. And Rashi says, what's Hanim Tzoyes? Hamuzumanus Lecha Bebayis Latzilam. They're with you in your home to be saved. So the Imri Emist asks, why does, when the Pasuk is saying that the Malachim told Lot, go with your daughters and be saved, the daughters that are with you, Bebayis. Why is it important to mention that they were in the house? What's the difference where they were? So, says the Imri Emes, the Malachim were already telling Lot, the daughters who their style is to be Bebayis, to be in the home, they, Latzilam, they will be able to become part of Klal Yisrael. But those who are not Bebayis, the men, can never become part of Klal Yisrael. The Rav Yossi Sof is not a Gemara, V'shleim lo lamdua, and says the Gemara, Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon both learned their opinions from the halacha of a kohen gadol and almona. The Rav Yossi Sof, a kohen gadol b'almona. The model is a kohen gadol b'almona. Ma kohen gadol b'almona, zaroi posel, that his children are disqualified, or posel, that makes her disqualified to kohen. Av kosher zaroi posel, whenever you have children that are disqualified, posel the mother, after such a mother will become posel to ever marrying a kohen. And a ger amoni amavi, whose children are posel, therefore if somebody has relations with a ger amoni amavi, becomes disqualified to marry a kohen. Shim gamloel omer, tamayim kohen gol balmona. We compare to kohen gol balmona. Ma kohen gol balmona, kol zare posel. All of the children become disqualified. Af kol shazar apostle, only when all of the children are disqualified, both the males and the females, I feel in the kavis, that's when the mother will become disqualified from ever marrying a kohen. Fuki ger amoni amavi, then the sheiris, that if a amoni has relations with a Jewish woman, and they have a girl, as we just said, haksheiris lover bekol, the daughters are not disqualified for being part of Klal Yisrael. The mamar, as we just learned, the Torah teaches us amoni v'loy amonis, me'avi v'loy me'avis. It only applies to the men, and not to the woman. So the Siach Safri Kodesh says, now we could understand why we read Rus on specifically on Shavuos. Shavuos is the Yontav of Matan Torah, and Rus, as we mentioned a few moments ago, that was through Rus the halacha of Amoni V'loi Me'anis, Me'avi V'loi Me'avis, was taught. So it's appropriate that on the day of Shavuos, on the day of Matan Torah, we should read something that represents a Chiddush in Torah. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Toivli Torah Aspicha Me'alfei Zov V'chesef. What is David HaMelech saying with this? So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh explains, David HaMelech, as we just learned, there was a question in the Beis Medrash regarding his yichus, because as we explained, he was a descendant of Rus. And there was no pasuk that clearly indicated that differentiates between Amoni v'Amonis. Tovli Toras Picha, the Torah Shebal Peh that was taught by Amsa in the Beis Medrash, is worth to me personally more than anything else, because that's how I became qualified to come into Klal Yisrael. And that's how Baruch Tam explains another pasuk in Tehillim. Sarim Reitfuni Chinam, udvar chapachad libi sos anoichi alim rasecha kamaitzi shol roish. Because as we just said, Doig and Achitofel was saying that David HaMelech wasn't befitting to come in to Klal Yisrael until they said the drosh of Amoni V'loi Me'avis. So says the Baruch Tam, Torah Shebiksav is called Dibur, and Torah Shebalpeh is called Amira. So he says that's Pshat and the Pasuk. The Sorim, Doig and Achitofel, who were tremendous Talmid Chachamim, they were Sorim in Torah. Rutfuni chinam, they were chasing me for no good reason. They were saying that I am not befitting to be a member of Klal Yisrael. Umedvarecha, however, the Torah shebapeh, medvarecha, the Torah shebiksav, pachad libi, made me scared. Because if we look in the pasuk, as we've been saying, doesn't differentiate between men and women. What saved me? Sos anoichi alim rasecha. Sos anoichi alim rasecha. The Torah Shebapeh that taught us that there's a difference between men and women. Sos anoichi makes me happy because now I am fitting to get into Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Malachim, rather, say in Parashas Vayeru Tavram Avinu, V'yomer Elov, Aye Sara Ishtecha. And Avram Avinu says, Hine ba'oyel. So, as we've been learning, why do we differentiate between the male and female Amoni? Because as we said, Darka Shalish, it's men who are supposed to greet the people going through the country. They ain't Darka Shalish, not women. And that's what happened over here. They said, Ayesare Ishtecha, where is your wife? Why isn't she greeting us? So Avram Avinu said, the reason why she didn't come out to greet you is because Hinei Ba'oil, that she belongs in the oil. That's where the woman belongs. So says the Pasuk, after Avram Avinu established that Ein Darka Shalisha, it's not the place of a woman to go out and greet. So the Pasuk says, V'yelech, they went to save Lot and his daughter. So the Chiddush Arim says an incredible vart. He says, as we're learning now, when this halacha of Amoni v'loy Amoinis, Me'avi v'loy Me'avis, was only taught in the time of David HaMelech. So it turns out that when Rus became a Geiris, she became a Geiris under the understanding that she would not be able to be part of Klal Yisrael. Because at that time they thought that even a female Me'avi cannot enter Klal Yisrael. And yet she was prepared to enter Klal Yisrael. To show us, says the Chiddush Arim, what Mesiras Nefesh Rus had, that she was ready to become part of Klal Yisrael, even with the understanding that by becoming part of Klal Yisrael, she would never be able to get married. She still was prepared to do so because she was so anxious to become a member of Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara Amar of Chizda, Haklamoidim, everybody agrees by Almanas Isa, a woman who's an Almanas Isa, Psula Lakuna, that an Almanas Isa cannot marry a Kayin. And there are many different approaches in the Rishonim, who is an Almanas Isa. Rashi's opinion is Almanas Isa is the wife of a Safek Chalal. And she's the wife of a Safek Chalal. Rashi in Masechet Ksubos says that a woman is Almanas Isa is the wife of a husband who is a Sfek Sfeika, meaning a man's mother got divorced, but we're not sure if that divorce is a valid divorce or not. And then that husband, who we're not sure if he did or didn't divorce this woman, died. And now this woman married a Kohen, and now they had a baby. And we're not sure if this baby is a child of the first husband or the second husband. So we have a Sfek Sfeika. And the second husband is a Kohen. Number one, this child might be the son of the first husband. And even if he's the son of the second husband, who's the Kayin, were not sure, and obviously both husbands were Kahanim, were not sure if she's a divorcee that was not allowed to marry a Kayin. Taisus Masech Ketubah says, Amanas Isa is a woman who married somebody that there's a Safek Chalal in that family. And therefore, every person in that family, we're not sure if the person you married is a Chalal. So it says the Gemara, Maidim Almanas Isa, the Alman of such a man, Shepsul Kuna can't marry Kayin. Says the Gemara, because man make Bahani Tanoim. From all the Tanoim, we began today's shiur with which opinion is the most lenient opinion. Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel that says that even if a woman had relations with a ger amoni or me'avi, the woman does not become disqualified to a Kayin, the Kamar. And what did he say? What did Rav Shimon ben Gamliel say? Kol she'at anoisa espitai. Whenever a Kayin is allowed to marry the daughter, at anoisa almanasai, then you can marry the amana. Kol she'at anoisa espitai, at anoisa almanasai. L'mutei amanas amisa shepsul Kayin, because the Kayin may not marry the daughter of a Safek Chalal, because that the daughter for sure can't marry a Kayin, because the child, because it's a chance that he's a Chalal, and that's why the mother becomes disqualified for marrying a Kayin, says the Gemara. What is Rav Chisda teaching us? L'fuki mahani tanoi. He's come to say that we don't follow the opinion of these Tanoim, the Tanan, Heid Rabbi Yeshua of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir Almanas Isa, that this Almanas Isa that we identified, they held as Ksher L'Kuhuna. My Tama, why are they so lenient with Almanas Isa? For as we explained, it's a Svek Sveika. The issue if she's Osir is a Svek Sveika. And since it's Svek Sveika, throughout Halacha, the Halacha is, we're always lenient by a Svek Sveika. Why are we always lenient by a Svek Sveika? The Rashba explains, it's a fact of statistics. When you have so many Sveikas, so statistically, we have every reason to be lenient. And therefore, since we have every reason to be lenient, that's why we're Makel by a, statistically, it works that we should be Makel, that's why we're Makel by a Svek Sveika. That's the opinion of the Rashba. The Gilyoni HaShas takes another approach. It goes back to a subject that we discussed in a previous year. We know throughout Shas, the halacha is Safek Daraisa L'Chumra and Safek D'Rabbanon L'Kula. But the Rambam's opinion is that not only is Safek Daraisa L'Kula, but the halacha that Safek Daraisa L'Kula, the Rambam's opinion is a halacha that is a halacha but mid the Rabbanon. So when we're machmer by a deraisa l'chumra, so even if it's a sofik deraisa, we're being machmer, it's only mid the Rabbanon. When we have another sofik on top of that, that becomes for sure a sofik the Rabbanon. Because the first time we were machmer, we were only machmer the Rabbanon. So the second sofik becomes a sofik the Rabbanon, and by sofik the Rabbanon, the halacha is we go l'kula. We learned in our Mishnah, the Rebbe Lezer said, Vadon Bevadon, two people who have definitive disqualifications are allowed to marry each other. However, Vadon Besfekon, Besfekon Bevadon, Besfekon Besfekon, Rebbe Lezer said is Osir. Amar Behuda Amar Rav, Halok Rebbe Lezer, that is indeed the halacha. Says the Gemara, Kamri to Kamei de Shmuel, Kamri saw Kamei de Shmuel, when this was said over to Shmuel, Amali, he asked me, Hillel Shaina, that Hillel taught us in a Braisa, Asar Yuchsin Almi Bovel, that as we learned, 10 different types of categories of Yichas came out of Bovel, the Kula maternal lovers of Zeh, and they all may intermarry. So it seems that even somebody who's a Sufik can marry a Vadai, and a Sufik can marry a Sufik. Vat Amrit. So he asked him, how could you say that the halacha is like Rebbe Lezer? And I saw that the Rishonim explained that why didn't he just say that the Mishnah that we began the Masechta with, that we began the Perek with, says differently. Why did the Gemara have to bring the Hillel? So the Yerushalayim explained, because the Mishnah, there are other Mishnahis that may be disagreeing with that Mishnah. But Hillel's opinion, and we always, the halacha always follows the opinion of Hillel, is very clear that we are allow these marriages. So what's pshat? Says the Gemara. So we see here that we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav's opinion is that these, all these people like Rebbe Lezer, are not allowed to marry each other. And Shmuel's opinion is that we follow the opinion of Hillel and that they may intermarry. Ask the Gemara, Rami the Rav the Rav, we could ask a steer in the opinion of Rav, Rami the Shmuel, and we could ask a steer in the opinion of Shmuel. Ditmar, we learned Arusa Shibra. Arusa, which we often speak about, is a woman who had Kedushin. Amid Araisa, she is an Eishes Ish. The only thing is, she's not living with her husband yet because they didn't have Nisuin. And now she became pregnant. But we're not sure who is the father of this child. Is the Arus the father of this child? And then the child is fine. Or is the child of any other man? Because if he's the child of any other man, so he's the child of an Eishes Ish. And the halacha is that an Eishes Ish, the child is a mamzer. So we have Arusa Shem Ibra. Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer. We are assume that this child was born from most of the men in the world. And most men in the world are Osatar. There's only one man in the world that she is not Osatu, and that's the Arus. We follow the Rav. Shmuel Amar Havlad Shtuki. And Shmuel's opinion is that the child is treated like a shtuki, which, as we often say in the shiurim, a shtuki is a suffix. Rava mavlad mamzer, mutter ben mamzeres, he can marry a mamzeres. Shmuel amar shtuki and can marry a mamzer. So we see from here the Rav allowing this child to marry a mamzer, even though it's a suffix. Rav is saying that a suffix can marry a vadei mamzer. Rebbe Lezer says a suffix cannot marry a vade mamzer. So we just started a few moments ago saying the Rav holds like Rebbe Lezer. How do we reconcile the opinion of Rav? Similarly, we have a question of Shmuel. Shmuel says that we passing like Hillel, that a suffix cannot marry that suffix can marry a mamzer, and here he's saying that the halacha is that they can marry each other. Says the Gemara Epech. We have to reverse the opinions and say Rav Amar Vlad Shtuki, and therefore can marry a mamzer. Shmuel Amar Vlad Mamzer, and therefore he can marry a mamzeres like Tanakama. But ask the Gemara, if that's their machloikis, why do we have to have the machloikis mentioned twice? One by an Arusa Shibra, and one by a Pnuya that was Mazana. Their opinions are identical. Answers the Gemara Tzricha. The Yitma Baha, if we only had the Machlokes regarding the subject of our Mishnah, Baha Kama Rav. This is where Rav says, like Rebbe Lezer, Mishum Deroiv Ksher Metzloi. When she's a Pnuya, most men are not also to her, so we should follow the Roiv and say the Vlad is Kosher, and therefore not allow him to marry a Mamzeris, not treat him like a Sofik. Aval Hossam, in the case of the Bais Braisa, where she is an Arusa. And since she's an Arusa, Rav Psulim Etzla. The Rav says that the child is a Mamzer, because there's only one person, as I described, that can marry her. Maybe in such a case, Eman Moidel Shmuel, that the child is certainly a Mamzer and can marry a Mamzeris. V'yet Mahach, if we only had the Machloikis by an Arusa, we would say, Behokam Rav. This is where Rav treats the child like a shtuki and can't marry a mamzeris. She is an arusa, so it's most likely that who's the person that she had relations with is with her arus. Al baha in our Mishnah, where she's a pnuya, and there's no reason to say that the man she had relations with is a kosher than any other man to say she had relations with. Eimer Moidel Shmuel, that the child is certainly to be allowed to marry a mamzeris, and therefore Tzricha, Rav had to repeat that by Arusa and Apnuya, his opinion is that Nanal are marrying Mamzeres, and Shmuel says they are. We don't have to change the Braisa. And according to Rav, Arusa that had a baby, according to Rav, the child is a Mamzer, Vadai. According to Shmuel, the child is Shtuki. And that isn't contradictory to what Rav Paskins like Rabbi Lezer, where he says a Sufik can't marry a Vadai. My Mamzer, the Kama Rav, when Rav said that the child of an Arusa is considered a Mamzer, he doesn't mean to the degree that they can marry Mamzeres. And it'll be an indication that Rav holds a Sufik can marry a Vadai. Lab mut Mamzeres. He doesn't mean to say that he can marry Mamzeres. Ella, what he means to say is he can't marry Bas Yisrael because he's a Sufik Mamzer. And similarly, Shmuel Omer Havlat Shtuki, when Shmuel said the Vlad Shtuki, what he meant to say wasn't that he may not marry a Mamzer. Because Rav Shmuel holds, as Hill reported, that a Sufik is allowed to marry a Vadai. What he meant to say was that Bas Yisrael, that Shmuel holds that a Sveikim of Adon is Mutter. And asked the Gemara, if the child can't marry a Bas Yisrael, even according to Shmuel, so then what's the machlokes with Rav? El Mai Shtuki, Shemantachkin Oysa Bedin Kuna. We don't let him marry a Koyin. That means if the Oros was a Koyin, and the woman says, I was pregnant from my husband, the child, we can't treat him like a Koyin. Pshita. Zakhtamara, what's the chiddush? Hashem din Yisrael mishtikin lay. We don't let him have the din of Yisrael kosher. We treat him like a shtuki. We treat him like a Suffolk mamzer. So, within kunim abay, need we learn that he can't have the din of a kohen? Almai shtuki, shemeshat kan oysa menechse aviv. He wants to get a shear from his father's Yerusha, and we don't let him, because he says, I am the child of the Oros, and we say, we can't assume you're the child of the honors. Pshita, ask them, of course, mi adin and avu amanu, do we know for definitively that the Oros is his father, that he should be entitled to get a share of that person's Yerusha? But Tzricha, says the Gemara, is teaching us the Tofas. That not only is that if he seized a share of that Yerusha, even if he seized a share of that Yerusha, we won't let him hold on to it because we can't assume in any definitive way that that is his father. V'ibay seimer my shtuki. What is shtuki? What does Shmuel mean? But he's a shtuki. Beduki. Shabaitkin is amez. Aimai. What he means to say is we ask the mother, and if the mother says l'kosh navalti, she says that this child was born from the Oros Namenis. Ask the Gemara, whose opinion is that? That's the opinion of Gamaliel, whose opinion we've learned. We spoke about it in the previous year, and we'll speak about it in coming shurim. But ask the Gemara, Hamishmul Chodazimna. So what Shmuel is actually telling us is that the halacha is like Rav Gamliel in Masechta Ksubos Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that discusses a situation of Pnuya, a single woman, Hoysa Muberes, who's pregnant. Vamrla, and we ask her, Ma Tiba Shalubazu, who is this child? And she says, Mish Ploini Kainu. The father's a kosher koyin. And when we have Rabbi Lezer Omer in the menace, we trust her. Rabbi Shua says, ain't in the menace. Vam Rabbi Yudam Shmuel teaches us that Loch is Kreg Gamliel. So what is Shmuel telling us here that the Loch is like Gamliel, that we trust the mother? Tzricha. Dima Hasam, if we had that case, so as I just said, that case refers to a Pnuya. And by Pnuya, a single woman, have him in a hussam. Why do we believe her when she says that the father is a perfectly fine yichus? Because roiv ksher mitzvah, she is allowed to have relations with most men because she's not an arusa. Avalhoch, in the case that Shmuel's discussing here, in the braisa, the roiv psul mitzvah, because she's an arusa, and the only person in the world that she could have a kosher relationship is with an arus, which is only one individual. Amaloy, we won't trust her when she says it. That's why the Bryce had to say that here too we trust what she says and accept what he says, like Rav Gamliel says by the Pnuya. Says the Gemara Tanya, we learned in a Bryce. V'chein Rav Elazar omer kuti lo yisa kutis. A kuti may not marry a kutis. My tama, what is the reason that kutim may not intermarry? Says the Gemara, omer Rav Yosef asu kiger lachas ara doiris. They're treated like a ger after 10 doiris. Just like a ger after 10 doiris, we don't treat them like a ger, because, and even though, as we've been learning, the halacha is a ger can marry mamzeris, but if somebody's a descendant of a ger after so many generations, we cannot allow them to marry mamzeris. The Tanya, because so do we learn in a brisa, ger at a saradiris, up to 10 generations, mut mamzeris, can marry a mamzeris. However, mikam ve'eluch, after 10 generations, also by mamzeris may not marry a mamzeris. V'yesh oimrim, it doesn't depend on generations. What it depends on is ashi yishtaka shem oivdus kachavim menu. As long as they no longer are called gerim. So it's not dependent on a specific amount of generations. It depends on when people do or don't realize that they're gerim. Amle abaya. So the Gemara is saying the same thing with a kuti. Midami hasam, when we speak about a ger yosham, when we have a person who descended from ger many, many generations ago, and we have a mamzeres chadasha, and we have somebody who is a mamzer, or mamzeres, Amri ba Yisrael, the kodnos mamzeres. When we see these two people intermarrying, and we don't know that this individual is a descendant of gerim, so people are going to say that a regular Jewish individual is a lot of marrying mamzeres, which is, of course, something that is not permissible. Hocho, but when we have a kuti and a kutis intermarrying, ki'adodin dinu, they are of the same status. So why should we say that a kuti may not marry a kutis? So our Gemara introduces a new concept. And that's the concept of a name or a status. How long is it or isn't it still in effect? So I saw the Paiskim discuss, the Marsham, the Bajan Rav discusses that one of the very important halachas in a geiris, in a get, is that you have to write the name of the person who's being divorced and all of the names by which he is called. So he says there was a person, apparently he was an irreligious person, and he was a doctor. His name was Dr. Margolis. Everybody called him Dr. Margolis. But his Hebrew name was Moshe. But he never came to shul, or rarely came to shul. And once in a while he came to shul. And if he came to shul on this rare occasion, when he got an aliyah, they would call him up with his name Moshe. And the question was, is that enough of a reason that when they write the name in a get, they would have to write the name Moshe? And the Mashah says that you would have to write the name Moshe. And this explains why would you have to write that name? Because although it doesn't happen often, but whenever he comes to shul, he's called by that name, that isn't called a situation of yishtaka shmoi, that his name has not been forgotten. On the other hand, he speaks about a woman who apparently also, the way it seems from the Shaila, is irreligious. She has a Hebrew name, but she's never ever called by that name. The only time she's called by that name is if her father, who is a religious Jew, goes to a Rav, to a Rebbe, to ask for a bracha, and he puts down his daughter's name. And there, when he puts down his daughter's name, he puts down his daughter's Hebrew name. What would be the halacha? Is that called nishtaka or not? So he says that would be called nishtaka, since she's not called in any, and he says a chiddush, that the definition of nishtaka depends if it's done privately or publicly. Something which is only done privately and done on a very rare occasion can be called mishtaka. Something which is done publicly, even if it's only done on rare occasion, but the fact that it's done publicly prevents it from being called mishtaka. But, so now, the Gemara goes back to what we've been discussing. We learned that the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar said, kuti la yusa kutis, And we need to understand why not. It says the Gemara El Kiyasar of Dimi Amma, Rabbi Lezer Sov like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Lezer holds like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel Sov like Rabbi Kiva, and based on that, that's why Rabbi Lezer said that Kuti can marry Kutis. What does that mean? Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Lezer Sov like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Lezer is in agreement with Rabbi Shmuel, the Amma Kuti Geirei Roya Seim. We know that the Pasuk tells us that the Kutim became Geirim because Sancheriv brought them to Yisrael, and they were and the land was essentially desolate. Because the land was essentially desolate, there was animals, wild animals, and out of fear, they became Kutim. So he's of the opinion that their Geiris wasn't a sincere Geiris, and therefore they're not considered Jewish. And therefore, they're like a goy, Avikachavim Shabbat Bas Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is, like Rabbi Kiva, Avikachavim Evet Abba Bas Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. So according to Rabbi Kiva, that a Mamzer is produced from Chai V'Lavin, and every Kuti, we have to be concerned that maybe he's the product of the Israelis that married a Kuti, and if he's the Israelis that marry a Kuti, that he's a Mamzer, or is he a Kut? Is he the product of a Kuti who married a Kutis, and therefore he's a Goy? And the halacha is that a Yisrael, and even a Mamzer Yisrael, may not marry a Kuti. So we don't know what is the status of this child. This is the way Rashi explains this Gemara. Is the child a Kuti? Or is the child a Kuti, a non-Jew, or is the child a Mamzer? Ask the Gemara, how could be that's the basis of Rabbi Lezer's opinion? When we saw Rabbi Lezer, Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, can we say Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Kiva? That I've become the Evra Babas Yisrael Vlad Mamzer, from Rabbi Yochim, Mishim, Rabbi Shmuel, the nine Levi Kachav, Evra Chababa, Akahanis, Fellow Viva Bas Yisrael, Shapaslua. That they disqualify her from ever being able to marry a Kayin, because the Pasuk says, Bas Kayin Kisil, Amon of a Grusha, Vizera, Ein Law, Vishava Beis Avia, Kunara, Melech Avia, Toichal, Vikal Zola Yechelba. If a Bas Kayin was married to a person she was allowed to marry, and then that marriage terminated, and there are no children, she's allowed to eat Truma. But we learn from there, Mishieshle Amonis for Gerushin, if she was the wife of somebody who was halachically permissible to marry her, and with the death or divorce, she became an mana grusha. But if she was married to the Avik Chavim Evid, that there was no marriage, Shein Lai Amanas Vagrushin. If he's going to hold like Rabbi Kiva, that the child is a mamzer, hash the mamzer mehavi. If the child born from that is a mamzer, of course the mother will become disqualified to marry a Kohen. Why do we need a special pasuk? Ella, so we can't have Rabbi Shmuel holding like Rabbi Kiva. Rather, says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer Sovel Rabbi Shmuel, Damakute Geira Reis, going back to what we said a moment ago, that the Kutim are considered Geira Reis, and there's a very big discussion, what is the category, what is meant by Geira Reis? Does Geira Reis mean that they became Geirim out of fear? But at that point, even though the Geiris was not for sincere reasons, but it's still not a good, but they were Geirim, and that would be a proof that somebody who becomes a Geir without the proper intent is not considered a Geir. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is that when they became Geirim in the first place, they were still worshipping Avodah Zarah. And since when they became Geirim in the first place, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, that's why their Geiris is not a good Geiris. But if they wouldn't have been worshipping Avodah Zarah as they became Geirim, maybe they would be considered Kasha Geirim. Ella, Rabbi Lezer, Sovel, Rabbi Shmuel, Damakute, Geirah, Rayas. Sovel, Rabbi Kiva, and he, Rabbi Lezer, holds like Rabbi Kiva, not Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Kiva, the Amma Avdi Kachama, Avdi Kachama, Bab Bas Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Is it possible to say that Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Akiva? Vama Rabbi Elazar api shenaklu b'shamer b'yisrael b'tzarais. The halacha is that if a man dies without children, his brother has to do yibum. If the woman whom he's married to is an erva to him, the simplest example, as we learn in the first Mishnah Masechta Yevamos, if Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven married Shimon's daughter, and now Reuven dies without children, Shimon cannot do yibum, and therefore not chalitza, with Reuven's wife, who's his daughter. That everybody agrees. The question is, if Reuven had another wife, which, as the Mishnah over there calls her, the tzara, tzaras erva, is the tzaras erva a candidate for yibum chalitza? And that was a machloket b'shamay and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says that a tzaras erva is a candidate for yibum, and Beis Hillel's opinion is that she's not a candidate for yibum or chalitza. Says the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar says moidim, shein mamzer da el mi shesuri is a ervis anish karas. The mamzer will only be if somebody, when there's a chiv karas, that, and if it's not going to be an issa karas, the children of a tsaras erva, that means according to the beishamai, the tsaras erva is supposed to have yibum chalitza. So she had yibum chalitza. So what will be the status of that child? According to Beis Hillel, that child will be a mamzer, because she's an eishes ach, she's a brother's wife, shloi b'maka mitzvah. But the tzaras erva that acted according to Beis Hillel and did not have yibum chalitza and got married, according to Beis Shammai, they wouldn't be mamzerim, because that would be the child of a yavama, the child of a shemeris yavam. A shemeris yavam getting married to someone else besides the yavam, which that would be the case according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel is saying that this tzaras erva can marry anyone without yibum chalitza. Beis Shammai says that she has to have yibum chalitza. The child born to that tzaras erva, according to Beis Shammai, would not be a mamzer, because a shemeris yavam that gets married to someone else without having yibum chalitza is a chiyuv lav. And everybody agrees that one is not a mamzer from a chiyuv lav. So we see that Rabbi Elazar does not agree with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar does not agree that a chayv lavin create a the chayv lavin create mamzerim. So how can we say, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Elazar's opinion is based on him agreeing with Rabbi Akiva? So we still need to understand what is the reason Rabbi Elazar holds that a kuti and a kutis getting married will produce a mamzerim.